Good morning, your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon. Our first broadcast of the year for 2022, but we look back at 2021, and we do so with Brownfield and with farm broadcaster Kellen Havakin talking about EPA, some of the top stories from 2021.
Before President Biden's EPA administrator was confirmed, Michael Regan said he wanted to look at what was learned by the Obama and Trump-era WOTUS rules before considering changes. Regan said he spent a lot of time with small farmers and environmental groups.
I don't believe that we have to sacrifice water quality at the expense of making sure that farmers, especially small farmers, have a fighting chance in this economy.
The EPA and Army Corps of Engineers announced their intent to revise the definition of WOTUS under the Clean Water Act in the early spring. Regan said the 2020 Navigable Waters Protection Rule led to significant environmental degradation. Many farmers across the Midwest raised flags that this could hurt their operation. But then good news for agriculture. According to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a U.S. District Court ruling ensured that the Navigable Waters Protection Rule would remain in place. Scott Yeager is the Chief Environmental Counsel for NCBA.
The alternative would be the Trump rule goes away immediately, and now we're going back to the pre-existing rules and regulations. But I will say, on the 2015 rule front, we're never going back to that.
Administrator Regan said the goal is to listen to all sides and craft an enduring definition. Regan told NASDA members they would not be reinstating the Navigable Waters Protection Rule or the 2015 Clean Water Rule. But then in November, the EPA and Army Corps released a proposed interim rule that replaces the current one. Curtis Carey is the Public Affairs Director of EPA Region 7 and said it's the first of two steps.
It brings us back to pre-2015 definition of the waters of the United States with some upgrades based on court rulings.
That's the pre-Obama administration Clean Water Act rule. The next step to finalize a rule, Carey says, is roundtable discussions across the country in 2022 from all stakeholders, including farmers.
In early January, biofuels groups continued to challenge outstanding small refinery exemption requests. The House Biofuels Caucus was asking President Trump to uphold his commitment to the RFS and reject any pending small refinery exemptions. Renewable fuels continued to be a hot-button topic into early February during the Senate Ag Committee's confirmation hearing for then-Ag Secretary nominee Tom Vilsack. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst expressed concern about the future of the RFS, considering the Biden administration's executive order to transition the federal vehicle fleet to electric vehicles. In March, the EPA changed the small refinery exemption policy on who could receive them. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
The waiver program, which was designed to provide assistance and help for small refineries that were struggling to meet the renewable fuel standard requirements, made sense. But what didn't make sense necessarily was providing those waivers to large-scale refineries that were owned by large-scale oil companies.
Near the end of April, the decisions were taken to court. The EPA, which was represented by the DOJ, agreed with a 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that only small refineries who are continuously exempt from the ethanol blending requirements are eligible for future extensions. RFS issues continued in the courts. In July, the D.C. Circuit Court rejected that the RFS obligations negatively impacted oil refiners. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper.
The courts, one by one, rejected those arguments and really, hopefully put them to bed once and for all.
Patience began running thin after the Environmental Protection Agency missed its November 30th deadline to release renewable volume obligations under the Renewable Fuel Standard. EPA proposed the 2022 RFS requirement right at 15 billion gallons. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper.
The EPA has proposed to get the RFS back in a growth mode. They're proposing for 2022 a 15 billion gallon requirement.
EPA said it would move to deny all pending small refinery exemption petitions based on last year's 10th Circuit Court decision. Ron Lamberty with the American Coalition for Ethanol says the RFS is not in a better place.
They've lowered some numbers for 2020, which didn't need to be touched at all. And it's probably illegal. So it'll end up being, another lawsuit that we got to spend money on.
Ethanol producers bounced back this year. More from Rhiannon Branch.
During the American Coalition for Ethanol conference in August, ACE CEO Brian Jennings said most ethanol plant operators would say 2021 has been better than anticipated.
Given where blending economics are for ethanol and given where RIN values are for ethanol, really, I think, driving interest in that. And thankfully, people are getting back on the road, right? And they're driving and demand is up.
In September, Doug Burvin with South Dakota-based Poet said the ripple effects of domestic fuel demand being cut in half early in the pandemic were still being felt.
I'm happy to report that right now we're running somewhere around 95 to 100% of current demand for September over the last several years. So we're getting back to normal, but we're not at normal.
A top goal of the Biden administration is climate change mitigation. Here's Nicole Heslip.
Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow told reporters in January she wanted to pass her Growing Climate Solutions Act as soon as possible.
Voluntary, producer-led opportunities.
Before the end of June, the bill passed the full Senate with overwhelming bipartisan support. Ex-Secretary Vilsack said the legislation creates a series of resources that reduce farmer risks, helps them to do more work they want to, and responds to the demands of consumers.
The farmer wants to do this, needs to do it. The farmer is anxious to do it, but it's difficult to do it when your bottom line is as thin as it is.
Regardless of what Congress decides to do, the USDA launched a Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry Partnership Initiative, which Vilsack says will support a set of pilot projects that provide incentives to implement climate smart conservation practices and quantify the carbon and greenhouse gas benefits of them.
I want to be clear, this initiative is not a carbon bank or a carbon market. It's not even a conservation program. This initiative is first and foremost a commodity program.
Ben Gordon with Corteva AgriScience told Brownfield they are finding that there are barriers to adapting practices like cover crops and reduced tillage that can increase carbon sequestration. Some farmers are taking advantage of the opportunity. Southwestern Indiana farmer Carl Seib.
Financially, it's about a lot more than just the payment. We've made a lot of money just on save time, fuel, practices, yield, probably is the biggest everyone talks about.
Minnesota farmer Brian Briegler has spent the past decade reducing tillage and adding cover crops. He says he's not concerned about the additionality of carbon markets.
I think there's going to be definitely opportunities down the road for everybody to get involved if you want.
Beagler describes the carbon market as the wild, wild west.
I don't think anybody knows for sure what's happening. There's a lot of programs out there, and there's a long list of different companies.
Bayer and CHS announced a partnership this past year to increase carbon program access to more farmers. Truterra also released its first round of carbon payments after launching True Carbon in February.
The potential for tax changes gripped farmers this year. More from Rhiannon Branch.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association said Biden's suggested changes to existing tax code to pay for the American Rescue Plan could be detrimental to agriculture. NCBA's Danielle Beck says there were proposed changes to two tax provisions that are critically important to America's farmers and ranchers.
He would repeal the deferral of gain for real estate and like-kind exchanges for any gains greater than $500,000 and eliminate stepped-up basis for gains in excess of $1 million.
A comment from Ohio farmer Patty Mann sums it up pretty well.
It's a very real deal and pretty scary prospect.
By spring, farmers were scrambling to talk to tax advisors and get succession plans in place ahead of a decision by Congress. Although the next generation of his family is not interested in the farm, 77-year-old Trevor Toland of Macomb, Illinois, told Brownfield he wants to pass it down to a 23-year-old cattleman whom he shares a grazing lease with.
Oh my gosh, it's complicated. You know, capital gains tax would just slay us. If we went another way, like a rent to own, we'd have huge income tax. So difficult decisions ahead.
The issue lingered on the minds of ag country until the reconciliation bill, known as Build Back Better, passed the U.S. House in November. And farmers breathed a sigh of relief when potential changes to estate taxes were left out. American Soybean Association Vice President Brad Doyle.
I think we were willing to give up many of the other topics just to protect that.
A big thank you to Brownfield Ag News and sharing some of the top agriculture stories of 2021. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing. Happy New Year.